Beast OCR proudly presents BeastNet Podcast, sponsored in part by GH Under's performance-based layers and supported by the OCR community. Here we discuss all things OCR related. Welcome to BeastNet.
All right, everyone, this is Mike here with BeastNet. I've got JP and Tyler from Terrain Race, and we're just kind of a fun little episode and talk about Terrain Race and everything that's coming up. How you guys doing?
Excellent, Mike. How you doing?
Doing good. So everyone, we've had JP on before. Tyler, why don't you kind of let us know who you are? You said you've been with Terrain Race for a while. Kind of give us a background on who Tyler is.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been working with Terrain Race for 3 years. I started in college by responding to a random Craigslist ad to unload trailers. 3 years later, I'm still working with them. I just graduated in May, and excited about where everything's been going.
Very nice. So you've been with them for 3 years, so what have you seen growth-wise? I mean, it's been a huge growth for them, hasn't it?
Yeah, when I started, like I said, I responded to this Craigslist ad to unload the trailers, and there was one trailer, there was no system in loading it, it was literally like playing Tetris to load this thing. There's no rope packs, nothing of the sort. I opened the doors, I was like, what did I just get myself into for $10 an hour?
Yeah.
3 years later, we went from 10 races to 20-something races. This year, we have 60 races a weekend. And I've just seen the importance of just implementing systems and putting people in good positions to work. But it's been a blast.
That's awesome. Where do you see Terrain Race going? I mean, you've seen like where it's come from and where it is now. I mean, where do you see it going from here?
Really just an increase in the overall professionalism, and then it feels almost as if we've been able to run a little bit looser and be a little bit more creative in the course design. Really just shore everything up and continue to improve upon what we've been doing. The biggest thing that's been bothering me is just the struggles with a smaller race is just being so time crunched and not having consistent schedules. Like I said, I've seen that improve so much in the last month. I'm just stoked about where everything's going.
That's awesome. So I know.
Does that kind of answer the question? I mean,
it does. It's really hard to say, you know, where you think.
Smart and tough mother, but
oh yeah,
it's really showing up that spot.
Which is good. I mean, it's one of those things. I mean, it seems like Spartan and Tough Mudder have had kind of a hold on the top for so long that, I mean, it's good to see somebody else rising up. So,
right.
You know, and
I've
done one Terrain Race. I did the one up here in Monroe. And then I had surgery, so I haven't been able to do anything since. So, but I will be at the one in Olympia. So, and that's going to be a good one, right?
JP, yeah, that's your cue.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely going to be a good one.
So you guys, where's that one's? It's at the MX, the ORV park, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is. I'll know once I get there. I haven't had eyes on this place yet, but I'll know once I get there how insane it's going to get. But I will push it as far as I can push it. And every single time, I will definitely push it.
And see, I'm looking forward to it because, I mean, Monroe was different because it was on the racetrack. It was, you know, kind of a different type of race. And I kind of want to see what you're going to do with this ORV park. I mean, I was just there, you know, I won't say any other names, but I was there for another race last weekend, my first one back from surgery. And it's a nice venue. It's a venue you can do a lot with. So I think you're going to have fun with it.
We'll get silly with it the best we can. I mean, for us with Terrain, there's a lot of things we're revamping. There's a lot of things we're going to bring in. There's going to be new obstacles. There's going to be, you know, there's going to be a lot of changes. So,
yeah.
You know, if you've raced a Terrain Race before, you can expect to see new obstacles.
That's good. I mean, the one thing I liked is, I mean, even something that was funny because we talked about it before I did the race was the water. The fact that, like, on the monkey bars, there was water underneath. It wasn't just dropping down to the dirt or dropping down to, you know, whatever. There was water there. You know, that was something we talked about was, you know, I missed that aspect of having the water. So,
yeah,
that was good. And I did complete the monkey bars. I went all the way across without hitting that water.
That's amazing.
It is. Trust me. I mean,
amazing.
For how big of a guy I am, that's amazing.
Yeah, that was amazing. And you should probably tell everyone what we were talking about afterwards. something about having that water there and it giving you the confidence.
It does, and that's kind of the... Yeah, I mean, it does. I mean, having the water there, it gives you more confidence because you know if you fall, the water's going to break your fall a lot better than, the dirt, which is how it is at a lot of races now. It's just ground or it's hay that's been trampled so many times that there's no, there's no give to it anymore. You just might as well hit the dirt. So, I mean, you have that, that cushion that you know that if you fall, you're going to hit the water and you'll be fine. And I think that gives you better confidence that normally it's kind of one of those things you don't, it sounds bad, but you don't try so hard in the beginning because you're still not that high up. So you're like, if I fall now, I'm going to be fine. If you just like, okay, I'm going to drop now and just not even take the chance of falling later and get hurt, but on that one, because there's water, I'm like, I don't care. I could fall from the top. It's like, if I let go of the top, I'm just going to curl up into a cannonball and splash everybody,
Right.
So, I mean, it's
such a state change. There's still such a state change when you fall in the water. There's almost like a fall sense of confidence.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so I mean, it's, it was good. I mean, I liked the way, I love the setup that you had. I mean, like I said, it was a different type of venue. I'd never really done a race at a racetrack, like that. So, I mean, the way you guys set it up was, it worked. It was good. So I enjoyed it.
Yeah, those racetracks, they're difficult, man. It's hard to take a flat course and make it something, You just max out and you do everything you can.
Yeah.
Man, in the difficulty of going to a place like that, Tyler and I, and two other people marking that course was at 2 a.m. before the race started a few hours later. It was brutal.
Well, and that's what a lot of people... Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
I say that's what a lot of people don't know is, because you told us, that, when we got there that they didn't even give you access to be able to start marking the course till what, 10, 11 o'clock at night, the night before?
Was that it, Tyler? It was 10 p.m. or something.
Yeah.
It was 10 p.m. Yeah, the event finished at 9:30, and by the time all the cars cleared out of there, we weren't ready until 10.
Yeah. So it's just, it's... Yeah, that's a killer. I mean, because you think about, some of the other races, they have 2 weeks of setup.
Right.
That they've got people out there, them and volunteers, for 2 weeks setting all this up. You guys had a couple hours?
Yeah.
And did you have the waves of volunteers that those other companies have? I doubt it. They had 2 weeks plus, waves and waves of volunteers. I'm betting it was you, Tyler, and a couple other guys out there trying to make this all happen. And it was a fun course. It was good. You guys did a great job.
That's literally what it was, by the way. Me, JP, and a couple other guys.
Yeah.
Seriously, what happened. But, that's what it takes sometimes. It's just a couple of rowdy people to go out there and just not stop, just persevere, And just there's too many people on the line that are showing up to race, and we're going to give them the best product we can with the materials provided. And you know what? When our time comes and we have better materials, which is, everything that's coming to us right now, we're in a weird era right now where we're with terrain and things are changing, and the people at Cool Events are really injecting this thing and just getting it ready for everyone. And when the time comes and we have that kind of drive, that kind of motivation from the crew, to be up till 2 a.m. to make sure everybody has the best product possible.
Yeah.
When we actually have the materials that the big boys have, it's on. And we're seriously going to go head to head with everyone. And I'm not scared in one bit. I've built everything. So I'm not scared in the slightest. It's going to be amazing.
Yeah. I have no doubt it's going to be awesome. I mean, I can't wait to see it all. So, I can't wait to see all of it and watch you guys grow and hopefully help you guys and be a part of it. So,
Definitely.
So, are we going to see some new obstacles in Olympia?
Olympia, it might be a little soon for that. There's a couple of things they're working on right now. But you might get a couple of things that we haven't also brought out. You know what I mean? Just little things here and there. We're always looking for, we're always looking for those little things to throw in that are natural, but I'll find them when I get there.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
It's great when the train can kind of help build the course.
Well, and like I said,
natural hill climbs or pay climbs. I mean, you saw in Monroe, we had the tire walls that you put in.
Oh, yeah.
Doing the best with what you have.
And that's the thing. It's like, you know, like I said, I was at that ORV park for another, with another race series last weekend, and there is a lot of, they were able to use a lot of the natural obstacles that are already there. So, I mean, you've got a lot, I mean, it's an ORV park, it's off-road vehicles. I mean, there's hills, there's some nice, nasty hills that you can throw in there, you know, and yeah, it's, you can have some fun with it.
Yeah, if I rent a machine, it's going to be over for everybody. I'll stay up all night just digging holes and making things ridiculous. So I can't wait to get there and get my eyes on it and see what this place is about.
It's, I think you'll like it. I mean, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And like I said, I mean, it's, I think with your guys' ingenuity and that course, I think you're going to have a lot of fun with it. And I think everyone's going to be really happy with what you guys can do with it. So, and then that's...
Yeah, there's something. Like with us, with this company, it's been amazing with terrain. There's really been no old bars. Like I've been trusted with my experience, and you know, it's just kind of like let it rip, go for it, bro. You know what I mean? And so, like I was telling you last time, and it still rings true. It's like, man, I'm able to do things now that I've always wanted to do. Get creative with the pits, obstacle placement that I believe is fair and right, and you know, I'm not just going to add an extra mile of running just so, you know, I could say it's a certain type of race or whatever. I just need to make sure it's all even and, you know, it's a fair race. It's going to be. But I've been able to do that here, and it's been fantastic, and I feel really good about each product that we put out there. And, gosh, I've been around for, God, where are we at, Tyler? Like 6 weeks now? And, I'm working on 2 months with this company, and it's just been pretty amazing.
And that's
something like that.
What's awesome about it is they have such faith in your abilities and what you've already done in the past that you've got, you know, 2 months into the company, and they're already like, hey, here are the races, have at you. Do what you do.
Yeah, right. That's great. And you know what? I've found a lot of people like Tyler, and there's a bunch of other people on the terrain crew that had a lot more in them than they were able to use prior, and I'm trying to drag out all the skills that these guys have, all their experience, and you know, I want everybody's input. I like to lead with the group, not like tell the group what to do, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I like everybody's input. People have been around for a bit, and you know, I like to get them all to speed and be like, hey, what do you guys think? And so you're getting a lot of the minds that have seen the terrain, like the terrain race evolve. So like Tyler, perfect example. We could get his input, you know what I mean? I could trust him to, you know, throw an idea out. And it's not dismissed like I've seen in the past. It's, you know, everybody's got input here. There's a couple obstacles. Our buddy Brad, he's been around for a long time. It's so funny bringing him up right now. But, you know, we have our rope wall. You remember that rope wall? So the rope wall, he just spun the thing around backwards. So you actually climb up the ladder side and come down the rope side versus the way it used to be where you climbed up the rope and then down the ladder side. And it's just such a world of difference that the difficulty factor and fear factor went up a notch. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is great. See, you know, had I not had the input from the guys and trusted them and try to empower people to be a part of it, you wouldn't see little things like that. So that's what I'm trying to do with everybody here.
Well, that's good. I mean, you're trying to be a leader, not a boss. And that's, you've used the word repeatedly where you lead. You lead, and that's the key word there is, you know, when you're a leader, people listen to you and you get things done. When you're a boss, nobody cares and they just want to, get away from you. So that's what's going to make things great, you know, is having a leader that's going to listen to everybody, and you guys are going to work as a team and make terrain amazing. So, yeah.
That's what you're going to get. You're going to see it in the product. You know what I mean? These guys have dealt with these obstacles in this race for years. You know what I mean? I just got here.
Yeah.
So their input, it's funny. It's like, oh my gosh, this guy's had this idea for like 2 years and it's just sitting on this, diamond of an idea. It's like, why haven't you guys done that? What is going on here? You know what I mean? And it's
because, you know, maybe nobody asked that person that thing, or maybe nobody trusted that person's idea and whatnot, but they're all coming to the surface now, man. We're pulling them out. They're like carrots. You never know how big they're going to be until you pull them out, you know what I mean? And
oh, yeah.
Some of these ideas are amazing, and I'm like, whoa, you know what I mean? Like, this is cool. Let's do it.
That's awesome.
JP, it's funny you say that, because I've been explaining it like this. It's like everything goes through the logic filter instead of the boss filter. And that's the ideal scenario for good work. You know what I mean? It's everything going through the logical, does it make sense? Obstacle quick, the track. Can we tweak this? Can we add this to you? And it's instead of going through the filter, you know, and you recommend for this out, it goes through that, just the logic filter, does it make sense in this situation? And I think as a result, we've been able to put on a much better product.
Yes, it's pretty good dynamic right now, and everything's really coming together. So, I mean, it's kind of crazy how everything's happening right now. But you're kind of like, there's a group of people from Terrain, you know, moving to the front. It's not like one guy, or, you know what I mean? It's not like, it's like the entire Terrain team, you know what I mean, is moving up with this company, and it's pretty cool to see. It's pretty cool to be a part of this era.
I mean, that is cool. I mean, the thing is, though, I'm trying to think, because Olympia is the last one in the Pacific Northwest for this year, isn't it?
I believe so.
I think so.
Yeah. So Olympia is going to be my last chance to see how great you are until next year. So you're going to have, 6 months after next weekend to, like, impress me really good next spring?
6 months. I think it's a drastic difference.
What's that?
Tyler, I'd say it's going to be psycho. It's going to be psycho for sure.
Yeah. And it's... I think it's awesome. I mean, listen to you guys talk, you can see how the difference, you know, you have the attitude of a leader. You're like, hey, these are my guys. I mean, you know, before we even started, you would tell me, hey, let's get Tyler, because he's been with Terrain forever and he's got great ideas. And that's a great leader, is somebody who sees how good his, you know, the people he works with are, and brings their talents up to make things even better.
It's really about empowering people, man. Like, you can't do this stuff alone. There's no one person who's going to put on the best race out there. I don't care what anyone said.
No.
I've seen the quote-unquote best race out there. I've been a part of that. And it's not one person. It never has, and it never will be just one person.
No.
It's a full team of people that just, you know, it's up to the leader whether he wants to give them credit or not. And you know what? I give everybody credit. It's about them. It's not about me. You know what I mean? So, you know, I try to build these teams and what they do and how they're, you know, what their focus is on, based on a future, you know what I mean? Not just like right now and just one race. It's about everybody learning how to do this.
Yeah.
Not just, you know, not just shoving someone into one job, but like, hey, learn this whole thing. You'll all be strong together. You'll know how to back each other up. You'll know how to take care of each other. And, because, you know what I mean? I don't know if I'm going to race direct forever. You know what I mean? Who knows? I might not race direct. I might go do some other things for this company. But if I could just implement this stuff and get people trained up and empower people and let them know that, you know, they're valued. Terrain, you know, the people at Cool Events do value everybody in Terrain Race. And, you know, it's about showing them that light and empowering them. So, you know, if I move on to, I don't know, maybe international or something like that.
There you go.
We might. you know, like, everyone will be taken care of, so...
Well, will they let you leave the country, JP?
Yeah, I'm good to go on the country thing.
They just won't let you back, right?
Yeah, they might not let me back.
Once you leave, you're gone. Oh. Yeah. The international will be cool. I mean, that's one of the things is I want to travel more for races, but I need to get my... I'm working on getting my physical... me back physically the way I should be, so... But... Yeah. So... Terrain Race... Like I said, the last one in the Pacific Northwest is in October, but that's not... Or not in October, but in, like, 2 weeks. But that's not the last one. I mean, what other ones do you guys have? You know? Because you guys are nationwide, right?
Yeah, actually the same week as the Olympia race, we have a race in Wisconsin.
Nice. So
yeah, so we have two identical kids, two of the exact same trailers, and working on building up two crews to put it on.
That's awesome. And that's the way it should be. I mean, you know, you get things set up right and just go everywhere. So
right.
So after July, then there's... Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, with two trailers, we're going to do some serious damage with just two trailers. It's going to be pretty amazing, actually. I thought about the logistics of it and how these things are going to be moving around and the races we can put on. My gosh, just two teams. It's going to be kind of mind-blowing when we max these things out.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a lot of races coming up. It's going to expand. These trailers are going to be on the go. It's going to turn into something pretty special where I don't know that those trailers are going to rest very much at all. They're just going to keep firing.
Well, I mean, that's the thing a lot of people don't.
We're getting ready for.
People forget about it because, you know, we're from, like, Washington, and we all think, well, the race season for us ends in October, mainly because we're all wussies and don't want to get cold. But if you go to California, Florida, you go down into the southern states, you can race all year round. There's no ending. There's no winter lull. You can go down there and race all year round. Or, you know, I mean, I think it would actually be fun, because I'm crazy, to have an obstacle course race in the Seattle area in, like, December. I mean, why not? See how manly we are. I mean, I do, every year I do a polar bear, you know, run. We run a 5K and then jump in Lake Washington at the end. You know, I mean, I think that'd be awesome for, yeah, do an obstacle course race in the middle of December and end it by jumping into the lake or something. I mean, you know, do a polar bear plunge that ends the race. We're already muddy and dirty anyway. Might as well get cleaned off.
I love it.
And see, that's just the way my mind works. Is, I mean, that's one of the things I've also had issues with a lot of the big guys' races, is they don't use Washington the way they should. I mean, every race that's here in Washington, you know, I mean, from the big boys, is flat and muddy. Which, yes, Washington's known for its rain, but we're also known for mountains. You know, we should be a mountain series race. You should be out here going to the side of a ski slope. Or go out to Wenatchee and Yakima, where you've got those big deserts. You know how freaked you'd get people coming from, like, California up to Washington and ending up in the desert? They're like, I thought this was the Evergreen State. No. Nope, it's not the Evergreen State. It's only the Evergreen State on the west half, you know. But there's so many different things that you can do in Washington. I'd love to see, you know, one out there, like, you know, in Yakima, where they have the National Guard thing, that area. Where it's those big rolling hills of desert. Oh, yeah. That would kill people. You know, everyone would be coming to Washington expecting the nice, you know, sunny green stuff and end up out in a desert going, what happened?
I love it.
That's my sick, perverted mind. I love to totally mess with people where all of a sudden they're expecting one thing and then it's like, but I also do comedy, and that's where most of my comedy is. I do jokes that, like, you expect me to go one way, and then all of a sudden I make a left turn, and you're like, what happened? So, you know, and that's where I think the race is. I think it needs – that's what I love about certain races, where you have that, where you think, okay, it can't be any worse than this. And then you turn a corner, and you're like, oh, I'm going to kill JP. You know, that's what I want to say. Those are the races that I like. You know, I did, you know – like I said, I don't like talking about the naming the other ones, but I did a race in Montana, and that's how it was. You come up to the hill, and this just nasty hill, and all of a sudden, you're like, cool, I can see the top. It's all good. You come over the top, and it's just it's a step. There's still half a hill to go. You're only at the halfway point. You're just like, oh, I'm going to kill somebody. But that's what I like. I like that kind of stuff. So, you know, it was kind of... The monkey bars, are they supposed to spin? The, your guys' monkey bars, the bars? Because you know there's like four or five of them that spin.
I don't know if they're supposed to. Because
that's what, like, I got like... I got about a quarter of the way up and all of a sudden one of them started spinning and I'm like, oh, you dick. Yeah, but I mean, I still made it. Yeah, I mean, I think you should learn to set up more of them. I think it's funny.
Yeah, maybe we should just make sure all of them spin, and then it's totally going to suck.
See, I don't know if it should be all of them. It should just be one, or it should just be random ones, because then nobody's expecting it. If you're expecting them all to spin, then you kind of figure out how to do it. But if you're not expecting it, and all of a sudden you get, like, almost to the top of the peak, and you're like, cool, I almost got it, and then you grab one and it spins, yeah, you're not expecting that.
confident because of the pool, right?
Yeah. And then I could just do Cannonball.
I was thinking about trying to put our rig over the pool.
That'd be cool.
And then jacking it up and changing everything, and I'm just looking at everything that we got and how we can alter things.
Battle of pit.
Yeah, our pit would be great.
Yeah.
I like pits. It would be awesome.
Yeah, that would be amazing, actually. Pit, that's it. I'm digging pits everywhere. Every big obstacle.
Just putting huge pits under everything. You're going to be out there with an excavator digging holes.
Everywhere. That guy put holes all over the place.
Big ass holes. Everywhere.
Oh. I'm looking on the website here, and I'm looking at upcoming West Coast races. I mean, if you were so bold as to go to Staff, or what else we got? Black Inland Empire. Inland Empire. What else? There's a Canada race coming up.
Oh, you guys got some in Canada.
West Coast. Canada, where is it in Canada? It is in Vancouver.
Oh.
In October.
That'd be cool.
We should all go up to that.
Yeah, we should. Because I know, I was trying to think.
If I'm not working, I'll roll up with a bunch of you beasts and we'll go over there.
Oh, yeah. That'll be fun. Yeah.
Hey, do you know who also is in beast territory right now?
Who?
Tyler, who's on the phone. He's in Lake Oswego.
Oh, Lake Oswego, Oregon.
Yeah, I'm in a coffee shop in Lake Oswego, and I got the text about half hour ago.
So yeah.
Literally, right before we jumped on the phone, JT's like, "Do you want to be on a podcast?" And I said, "Yeah, let's go."
Right on. Oh yeah. Yeah, the beast territory is getting bigger. I think it covers like the entire Pacific Northwest, including Idaho, Montana, and like everything else now. It's yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, when I started, there was like 30 people. And now I think last count, it's like almost 2,000.
3,000?
2,000. It's almost 2,000, I think. I think. Yeah. Yeah, it's like.
Great showing at our Portland race.
Yeah.
You guys had a huge team at the Portland race. It was a blast.
And there should be, I think, at the Olympia race, there should be another huge team. You know, and I think we had a pretty good.
Right on.
Pretty good setup at the Monroe. I think there was a pretty good sized team up there. So.
Yeah, Monroe was good.
Yeah. No, we got, we're pretty big.
Next time around, when Tan comes back full, I'm going to do a bunch of other special things to get his team. You guys will see it for sure. You better own every single race.
Probably.
Which I know you will. There's not going to be a terrain race in the Pacific Northwest that isn't at least biggest team. But we'll have different stuff ready to go for you. It won't be the same as every race you guys go to.
Nice.
Have some sort of prizes for you and whatnot. We'll have something to give you.
That'll be good.
It's gonna
be
fun.
That'll be fun. Right on. Let's take a quick break and go to a sponsor, and then we'll come back and we'll talk some more.
Sounds good.
Grays Harbor Unders makes the performance-based layer clothing you want and need. Whether you work, hunt, hike, fish, run, or ride in the great outdoors, if you work up a sweat, Grays Harbor Unders are for you because their unique dual-layer fabric removes moisture from your body and keeps your skin dry, even when the outer layer is completely wet. It's a base layer like no other. Get you some at ghunders.com. That's ghunders.com for the best performance-based layer you'll ever wear.
All right, we're back from break. So, you know, we were talking about a little bit. You said there's a race in October in Vancouver. That'll be fun. And you mentioned the beasts. I mean, you're basically a beast, aren't you, JP?
One day I'm going to just admit it to you guys. I'm just going to say it. But right now, yes, I'm in beast territory.
I asked him the same question in Portland.
He's basically a beast. He just doesn't want to admit it.
He gave me the same soft
answer. Yeah, he's a beast. He just doesn't want to say it.
Yeah, no, I know.
Oh.
Keeping it professional.
Why start that now? Oh.
You're right.
Oh. So do you guys run the races when you're there, or are you just too beat and tired?
We run them to get mileage. We run them to get the feel. You know what I mean? When we have time, we'll try to run the entire course. I think Tyler's been one of few people who've actually gone out there with me to get like a you how it feels, you know, how is this going to work? You know, you have to get a feel of it for sure before you hand it off. And
yeah.
So, you know, we do get out there and run them. You know, some of us do. We try to get more people to do it so you can, you know, have a little more passion for the product you're building and whatnot. But just know there are people who do care, who do run these things, not just slapping these things together, you know, guessing, pointing and shooting. But, we do run them.
I think it's interesting, the best way to collect accurate data for the course maps is to actually just run them and just like anyone else, start your Strava and then import that GPS file into the map and kind of draw based off that, especially when you're like, handling single track or any kind of trail, like wooded trail that doesn't show up. It's literally the best way to do it is just strap a phone to yourself and go on a run.
Yeah.
I think it's awesome.
Nice. That sounds like the best way to do it.
I'll tell you from my experience in the past, from my years of building these things, is that the best races, the best fields were always when a race director or the course marker would get involved and run these things and find out if it was, you know, find out if it was good. What's terrible is when you get people who are race directing or, you know, making courses that have never run a race or have no idea, like they're just kind of Google mapping this thing and, you know, like, oh, that looks good. And they have zero clue how this feels and, like, the product they're actually handing off to their customers.
Yeah.
I'm just a believer in it. And we just from here, you know, from when I started with Terrain and from here on out, obviously, somebody's going to run this course. You know what I mean? Like, I'll run it because I'll mark it. And I'll make sure this thing is good. I'll make sure it hurts. I'll make sure, you know, it's going to be the best that we can get.
Yeah, which is good. I've seen the difference on courses that, you know, where it's the person putting the course together is somebody who actually runs these against somebody who doesn't, you know, and you can tell the difference when it's someone who runs the course. They know the flow and the way that it needs to kind of go. And then the ones that are just kind of like, yeah, that looks good. You know, let's do what everything we can to like destroy their upper body before they get to this next upper body one. Those are the guys that you can tell have never ran a race. They're just trying to, you know, they're trying to get more failure. And it's like, no, you don't, you want to, you know, it's like you said before, you want to make it difficult, but you want to make it doable. You know what I mean?
Definitely do. Our only goal as course builders is to slow them down and not to crush their soul. Anybody could do that. You know what I mean? Anybody can crush a soul. We could make the hardest race ever. We could tell you to do 1,000 push-ups at the top of the mountain. You know what I mean? It's dumb. It's just not.
Yeah.
That doesn't make a good course. Remember we were talking about the finish line? If I bring that back up?
Mm-hmm.
It's like finish lines are everything to me. People that have lost weight, people that have been through hard times, that finish line is everything to them. And I want them to be able to do it for their families and for everybody that's there to support them. I want them to be seen climbing over things and just being a total badass for everyone that came to see them. And so they can cross that finish line a hero for other people. What I don't want them to do is be demoralized at the finish line. So I'm not going to put 3 rigs in a row at the finish line and, you know, like I've seen in other organizations where it's just sad. It's like, why would you do that to these people? That's so dumb. At least in my eyes, I won't do that to people. You know what I mean? Like, that's silly. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's like putting our rig at the very end. Like, I'm not going to do that, ever.
No.
I'm going to let them cry it out, fight it out, scream it out on the field. And when they get to the finish line, they're going to feel what glory feels like because they earned it. And that's what's going to happen.
Which is awesome. And that's the way it should be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you would only know that if you've run all these things. You would only know that if you've gone out there and given it 120% of your own energy, not watched a bunch of people do it. I've done that. I've been out there. I've given it hell. I know it's like to just...
Goodbye. Feel like,
oh, shit. I was afraid that was going to happen.
It just says goodbye and hangs up on you?
Yeah. Hey, everybody. We had a slight glitch, but we're back. JP, you were talking about the finish line and how it's so important to have, you know, a race director that has ran races and understands what the finish line means to people. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty clutch to make sure that you want them to do a big obstacle at the end, you know, or a mud pit or something awesome. You know, that's the least you can do as a race director to give everybody that's participating is, you know, that last photo of being a badass before crossing that finish line, you know, for your friends, for your family.
Oh, yeah.
And the last thing you want to do is, you know, just one person. It only takes one person to ruin that for everybody. And you realize that, right? Like,
yeah.
One race director who is an idiot can totally just be like, I'm going to put two rigs at the end, so these guys are just going to fail. You know,
yeah.
It's so dumb.
Oh, it is, because, I mean, that's the thing is, I mean, you know, for someone like me who's a bigger guy and struggles on some of those, for me, it's the obstacles at the end where that I can complete it, that all of a sudden, you know, my friends, my family, everybody's right there watching me finish this obstacle right before I finish, go across the finish line. That's awesome. You know, I did, you know, one of the bigger races, you know, I did their Hawaii race last year, and the last obstacle before the finish line was basically you just went up and over the two containers, like up a ladder and across like a balance thing, you know, and then back down right before you went over the fire. And it's like, that was cool because everyone could watch you do that instead of watching you fail on a rig and do your burpees right before you went across the finish line. It's like, hey, everybody, how you doing? Thanks for watching me fail. Now you got to watch me do burpees, and then I got to run across the finish line. It's like, it's kind of demoralizing sometimes.
It is. It's not cool. I like our finish line, the monkey bars. It's doable. It's so cool. There's a big cannonball splash. Everybody just makes a bunch of noise. It's really kind of cool.
Yeah.
There's nothing too demoralizing about it. I think it's great when people splash. But, you know, I wouldn't mind just throwing an A-frame at the end or, you know, so just another bigger obstacle. Like, we have horizontal. Our horizontal is great. It's big. It takes people a couple minutes. Slows them down.
Yeah.
It does its job, you know what I mean? But it doesn't demoralize anybody.
No, and that's what's awesome is when you have something like that that, you know, and like you said, like the monkey bars at the end, that is cool because, you know, if you fail, you make a big splash. I mean, that was my big thought going through it. It's like, if I fall, I'm making the biggest cannonball I can when I hit, you know.
Yeah, there's no penalties. There's no penalties, man. It's,
no.
You know, it's if they really didn't want to do it over and over again, they don't have to. They can just take the big splash across the line. Unless they're in competitive heat, right?
If yeah.
They have to finish it. You know, mandatory completion. But
yep.
I think mandatory completion is one of the greatest things. It's one of the greatest things. I watched one of the coolest finishes. Third and fourth place competitive women had the greatest battle through our pits in New York. And third place went across the bars, almost finished, fell, and fourth place made it across and got third place. It's just so cool that, you know, that's a mandatory completion because it's what, you know, anything could happen.
Yeah.
Cool.
Well, that's just
it's
it. Cause
not one of these touch the obstacle and then, you know, rush your penalty and then run across the line.
Yeah. You know, and that was one of the things we had one of our racers, Jenna, was telling me that she had, I can't remember what one it was. It was a Tarzan swing, I think she said. For whatever reason, she could not get it. But she was so determined because she was running competitive. I think she was in fourth or fifth when she got there. That she was there for like 45 minutes trying to get through that obstacle. And she's like, I'm not giving up my band. I'm finishing this obstacle, you know? And it's just like, you know, it took her completely out of contention, but she's like, I'm finishing it. I'm not losing my band. I'm finishing this race with my band, you know?
She's awesome.
Yeah.
You put it in their hand. Their fate is in their hand, you know?
Yep.
That's really digging deep. That's super digging deep. But she sat there for 45 minutes until she got across that.
Yeah.
That gets all the credit in my world.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And then I think she
that's
came back and did like.
Parts of the competitive way.
Yeah.
I was going to say, that's one of my favorite parts of the competitive way, is watching someone try an obstacle 50 times and get it on the 51st. It's so rewarding. That's a little like reminder why you do it.
Oh, it is. And that's what's awesome about this sport is, I mean, you can do an obstacle 50 times and fail 50 times, but that 51st time when you finally nail it, it's the greatest feeling ever. you know.
Exactly.
For me, it's one of those, like, for whatever reason, my good ones, you know, and the different types of races, for whatever reason, I'm really good at the monkey bars, even though I'm a bigger guy, but I'm, for whatever reason, I'm good at the monkey bars, and I'm good at, like, the spear throws and stuff like that. But then when it comes to the rig or anything, like, that swings, for some reason, I'm not good at those. So when I do the monkey bars, it's like, cool, I did it again. Yay. But when I finish the, you know, the rings or anything like that, then all of a sudden I'm like, now I feel amazing because I just did something that normally I can't, you know. And that's what the sport's all about. It's about doing things that you never thought you could.
You know what's really cool? I was just having this conversation yesterday. But when we kind of like get into it and kind of revamp, like restructure a couple of things, you know, work out a couple of things that we're dealing with right now, I really want to bring the Masters group back.
Yeah.
Like, I know there was a kind of a ripple effect when, you know, a certain company got rid of the Masters. I want to provide a Masters, and then I've always wanted to do a Clydesdale. That would be the greatest group to watch. You'd probably see some of the most amazing things happen in a competitive way.
Oh, yeah.
The Clydesdale group is so sweet.
Now, see, the Masters was what? That's 50 and over?
I think 50 and up, yeah.
Yeah, 50 and up. What's the Clydesdales?
I think it's like over 6 foot and like over 200 pounds, I think.
Okay.
Something like that. I can't remember what it is, but... It would be like in UFC having a heavyweight group, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you have these people that are literally like 6'2", 225, like... battling because they're all the same size, right? I mean,
yeah,
it's be one of the greatest things ever. Be like football players going for it, going at it.
Oh, that'd be awesome,
right? It would be amazing.
It would be. That would be amazing. I mean, I can't say much because I'm like 5'7" and 240, but yeah.
Get in there and take them, man.
Oh yeah.
I don't know if there's a height thing, but you know what I mean. It's like, I was talking to somebody about it. It's funny enough. Tyler, where were we? We were in the airport, right? The guy was asking us about the Clydesdale category.
Yeah, at the Five Guys on the way up.
Okay, yeah. We're at the airport. We're getting our connecting flight in Denver. The guy's like, where's Clydesdale? And I was like, I just wrote it down. I'm like, okay, cool. Clydesdale.
That would be awesome. You have to come up with a Clydesdale. Yeah.
Nobody's ever done it.
Yeah.
It's OTR.
No, and I mean, and I think that would actually be good. Is, I mean, even a Clydesdale, even do like a, you know, just a bigger one that says, hey, you know, bigger guy trying to get better. I mean, you know, someone like me who's, you know, 5'7", but 240, but I'm still out there trying to do it and have almost like, hey, you know, here's our, you know, go against other guys your size. And I mean, then, because it sounds bad, but there's sometimes that I feel like I don't push myself. Because I've always been that guy I'm the guy that's always last and makes sure that everybody else finishes. Does that make sense? I'm always that guy that's at the back of the field that usually, you know, on like the bigger races, I'm going to be the guy that makes sure that anybody that falls behind that I catch them and keep them going. So I think it'd be fun to have like, you know, hey, you know, here's the bigger guys, you know, I don't know. I don't want to say sumos because that could be sound bad, but you know. But
you think of them like athletes, right? Like this is like, it's totally how you break it down. It's just like the UFC, like, you know, you have your heavyweight.
Yeah.
And you know, they're in a category of their own. And you know, they don't fight the smaller guys or whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like that with OCR. Like if you were to break into that, be like, listen, we have a place for everybody in that terrain race, and we want to award people who are going for it, you know, and then yeah. If you are over 200 pounds, you know, you're doing your thing and, you know, making a change in your life, we want to reward that. You know what I mean? Why not?
I think you should.
It'd be pretty sweet.
I think it'd be awesome. Have a heavyweight division and just be like, go, you know, and I think it would help.
Yeah.
I think it would help people like me that have that feeling of, well, you know, I'm finishing, so what's it matter? Now, all of a sudden, hey, I'm going against people my size and trying to beat them. You know, it would give them...
Yeah.
You know, more of a push to say, okay, I'm getting better. I may not be to that point that I'm going to compete against, you know, Taylor Overmiller or anybody like that, but I can compete against the other guy that's just my size and, you know, and this race he beat me, I'm going to train a little bit harder so that I beat him on the next race. You know, and I mean, I think it'd be...
You know what's cool, though? It's going to be...
right? Maybe yeah. there's people that, you know, that are training. You know, maybe it's one of Taylor's guys, you know what I mean? Or yeah. maybe one of Jeremy's guys or whatever that just joined. Like, hey, man, you know, there's still competition for the for everybody. It's not like, oh, you can't run the competitive wave because you're not as fast or, you know, yeah. whatever. No way, dude. We're going to have another class.
Exactly. Cool. Have another class. You know, you can't yeah. run competitive raves because you're too big and you're out of shape. Round is a shape, buddy. I'm going for it.
Yeah. That is true.
I mean, what I think is so awesome about that episode, I think it's so awesome about them exactly on brand with how I've seen train for the last few years. Even in the obstacle choice, it's not quite as intimidating as some of the other race brands. Even the price point is not quite as intimidating as some of those race brands. So it's obstacles are challenging, it's still accessible. I mean, yeah. adding something like a Clydesdale division is exactly on brand and exactly on point with how we want to be perceived and kind of the impact we want to have on that industry.
Oh, and I think it'd be awesome. And I mean, because I think it's one of those things that if you guys brought in that class and had an overweight, or not overweight, I mean, a heavyweight class.
Yeah.
Overweight's not the right word. Do not use that wording. That would go bad. Yeah. A heavyweight class or a, you know, whatever, a bigger class. I think the other companies would have to take notice because people are going to be like, well, I'm going to go do terrain race because I can actually compete as a big guy. You know, where
this is a little bit of a tangent, but who does a great job of that is the CrossFit Games. You never follow the competitive. I think they do it every, is it March, JP?
I think so.
Sure. It's something like that, but I remember at the gym I was training at earlier last month, they even had it broken down by occupation. So yeah. This lady at the gym was telling me that she's the 10th fittest nurse over the age of 40 in Arizona.
Oh, wow.
It's so cool. Like, because of the digital system, she was able to actually quantify that.
That's awesome. So that's where you got to have fun and you get into...
I think that's something that everyone should take notice.
That's where you have fun and you get into a weird industry like I'm in, where I'm a safety professional for construction, and there's not very many of us. So, I mean, I'm probably in the top 30 because there's like 30 of us, but...
Oh, you have to be. You have to be.
So...
Oh, man. We want to give away as many awards as we can. I'll create as many categories as it takes to hand out, you know, a bunch of these checks. I don't, you know what I mean? Like, or whatever it is, you know what I mean? Like, some kind of metal or something. Like, I don't care. But I don't care what the award is, you know, just something to recognize that everybody who is out there, however we can spread that out and spread the love. And
I think that's awesome.
We're going to do it. We're going to figure it out. We're just getting there one thing at a time.
Yeah, because I mean, I did. It was funny. It made me think of a couple years ago. I did a 5K, and like 2 weeks after the 5K, I got a certificate in the mail that said I was like the second fastest in my age group. And I was so bad because I looked at my wife and said, "What was there two people in my age group?" I mean, but it was just cool that all of a sudden I got this award that said I was the second fastest in my age group. But I mean, you know, and it was bad to say it that way that there were only two of us. But, you know, if you had something like, you know, the bigger, you know, classification, I think it'd be cool. I mean, guys getting, you know, whatever, you know, getting awards for, hey, I think it'd be a huge motivator to say, hey, look, I got this for being the biggest in the heavyweight group. You know, being the fast in the heavyweight group. Let's see if next time I can get one for the bit, you know, for my age group or whatever, you know. So, yeah, that's huge. I mean, and that's like what I like about terrain is you guys are, you're growing and there's so many ideas between all of you that I think it's going to be a huge race and it's going to be amazing.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty sweet, man. I could really love all these things happening. Just want to, like, kind of lighting power up, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's just. Every race, every week, just so many ideas and things getting thrown on the table. That, you know what I mean? Like, just one bite at a time. You know, by the time our trailers come rolling back through the Pacific Northwest, we won't even get the same way.
Yeah.
We'll just be so supercharged.
That's going to be awesome. And I mean, we're definitely going to have to talk more, you know, over the coming months and everything else so that we can make sure we know what's going on with terrain race when you would be ready for it when it comes back. So, and you know, any help you want from the beasts, I mean, we're always here in the Pacific Northwest, so there's a few of us out here.
You got a couple thousand.
And if you ever want to build obstacles in my yard for practice, you can do that too. So.
Yeah, well, what are you doing tomorrow?
Me? I'm going to a buddy's house and blowing up fireworks? No. I have three, four obstacles in my yard already that I've acquired from different people. I've got an 8-foot wall. I've got a rope climb. The rope climb actually goes up to a pull-up bar. Then there's a smaller set of monkey bars. Yeah, there's a few things that I've just kind of acquired over time. I'm trying to get somebody to get me the steps. I want the, I can't remember what they're called, the where you go up the steps underneath and then go back down the other side. I'm getting, my brother, I think, is going to come build some of those for me in my yard.
Right on.
So I'm trying to, I want to get into better shape, but I hate going to the gym. So I pretty much just kind of built my own.
Yeah.
So I hate going to the gym because I always feel like, and it sounds bad, but I feel like I'm that guy that's like working out that you got all those buff guys and skinny guys looking at going, what's the fat dude doing over there? So I kind of have my own gym that I work at and, you know, figure I'm going to get back into shape my own way. So, and the gym doesn't have the stuff I like anyway.
No matter what shape I'm in, best shape of my life or not, I feel like that in a lot of those gyms anyway. Like, oh my gosh, everybody's judging.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's something that goes right
now. Oh yeah, and I think it's just me. And it's one of those things I've talked about on other episodes is I was skinny as a teenager. I mean, if you see pictures of me as a teenager, I graduated high school 140 pounds, you know, so I was tiny. And then I got bigger as I got older, and I've just been so self-conscious about it. It's like when I'm even out on the course, I feel like, you know, whenever someone looks at me, I'm just, my mind immediately is like, they're probably thinking, what's that fat dude doing out here? What's he even trying to do? But, and most likely they're probably thinking, you know, congrats. I'm glad he's, you know, out here trying to get better and do better for himself. But I don't, you know, it's a mental thing for me. I've got to get past. So, and I will.
I guarantee you they all are stoked. They know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It just, you know, it's that mental thing. I mean, I've gotten past it once before. I dropped down to under 200 pounds years ago, and then I blew my knee out. And then, you know, kind of slowly got bigger, you know, with the knee injury, then a foot injury, and then just injury after injury. And now I'm coming back and trying to get better because I had the wrong attitude when I got hurt. My attitude when I got hurt is, well, oh, my legs hurt. I better sit on the couch and eat potato chips. So I'm changing that attitude and getting better. So,
well, I'm glad you're interested in terrain, the zero judgment environment. You know, I want everybody to have fun. Everybody's welcome. I don't care what shape, age, form you come in. It, you know, zero judgment over there. Everybody is for everyone.
Yeah, and I know I'll be in Olympia doing the terrain race there, and I think I got to check. I've still got to sign him up, but my 16-year-old, I think, is going to run it with me. Yeah. So he did, him and his mom both did Monroe with me, but my wife's not ready for another race. This last weekend, it did a number on her knees, so she needs a couple weeks of a break. So I don't think she'll be ready for terrain, but my kid's ready for it, so it'll be fun.
Well, if we see her, maybe we'll drive around the course and she can hold the fire hose on you.
There you go. She'll be there because she always takes me, so she'll be there. And yeah, if you give her the fire hose, she'll gladly spray me with it. I'm sure of that.
It might happen.
Oh yeah. Right on. So that's the 14th, right? July 14th?
Yes.
So July 14th. That'll be a fun one. Are you both, you and Tyler, going to be there?
I'll be in Wisconsin that week.
Oh, you're not coming to Olympia, so I don't get to meet you?
No, I'll be working in Wisconsin.
Right? Nice.
If any beasts want to drive out to Little Switzerland Steel in Springer, Wisconsin, I would love to meet them.
I can't think of anything in Wisconsin. I mean, terrain race would be about the only reason I'd want to go to Wisconsin. I can't think of anything else there that would make me want to go to Wisconsin.
This venue is hilarious. It's probably a, man, 500-foot elevation change, literally just a little hill, and it's named Little Switzerland, and we put on the raddest race out there.
Oh, you're going to have to send me pictures of that one.
the name cracks me up, though, because it's called Little Switzerland.
Yikes.
And yeah, all the ski lodge is just like the Swiss Alps. It's hilarious.
You're definitely gonna have to send me pictures of that.
It's the middle of nowhere. Yeah, I'll make sure that you get pictures of it.
That'll be a good one. Yikes.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, I think I'm gonna let you guys go. Thank you for talking to me. It's been a blast. Is there anything both of you guys want to, either one of you want to say in closing before we cut this off?
I'll just say, yeah, thank you for having me. This has been a blast. I'm glad to see other people are as excited as we are about where you're intended.
Oh, yeah, anytime. Anytime you guys want to be on the podcast. Tyler, if we're not friends on Facebook yet, let's become friends after this. And anytime you want to be on the podcast, hit me up, and you've got an invitation for anytime you want.
Absolutely. Yeah, so. I look forward to talking to you more. It's a great thing you got going on there.
Oh, thank you. All right. JP, you got anything you want to say in closing?
I hope to see all the beasts out there in Olympia. I can't wait to run into y'all.
Oh, we'll be there.
And other than that, I'll run into as many of you as I can back in Portland.
Nice.
I've been running yesterday with Dana.
Oh, yeah. Dana. I love Dana. I did see that you had a picture with... I saw that earlier this week you had a picture with one of the people that I miss the most, and that was Dustin.
Oh man, our podcasts are about to get really, really exciting, and I'll tell you, there's a couple of things happening over at Terrain that are going to get extremely exciting for those who've been in this community for a long time, and pictures are just foreshadowing, just so you know.
I hope that if that's the case, that you will let me, let me know on the podcast. We can have a podcast and talk especially about that. Because if it's foreshadowing of that, then because the first Spartan race I think I ever did, he, did the Independence Day, speech before the race. And that was the coolest thing ever.
Dude, my first two, my second and third OCR race that he was announcing I get chilled here when I think about it. He's just so rad at it. He's so good at it.
There's nobody better than Dustin. So if that's what you're talking about, then we need to...
Yeah.
We should do another podcast later when that announcement decides to come up, and the actual announcement, and we should have him on.
There's a couple of things happening that are going to shake it up too, man. There's things like that. We call them the Expendables OCR group is what we are.
Nice.
It's kind of like the movie. I think I told you about this.
Yeah.
But there's a group of us who were around in the past with another organization, and we were the Expendables. We were the ones that, joined the group after the fact. And my Instagram will be foreshadowing a lot of that stuff. And even in amongst your group, there's a couple of secrets coming out amongst the beasts. There might be a couple of them. Joining the ranks, but we'll see.
Very nice. Well, hopefully you'll come to the BeastNet podcast for your announcements along the way too. So,
Sure.
And like
this
I said,
the only place I'll come to bring those announcements.
Yeah, you and Tyler and everyone at Terrain is welcome on BeastNet at any time. You know how to get a hold of me. So, perfect. And on that note, I guess we'll leave it on that for everyone to think about for a bit. And, thank you both for being on the episode. This was a blast, and I definitely want to do it again.
All right, my man. We'll talk soon.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Oh, anytime.
Thanks for listening to the BeastNet podcast, brought to you by Beast OCR. Don't forget to subscribe and let us know what you think and what you'd like to hear. You can find us on Facebook or at beastocr.com.